Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Listen for the word of God. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, in order that they may see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the covenant for safekeeping. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan.
From the Gospel of John, Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the religious authorities began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of the Lord. Ben Campbell Johnson was for many years professor of evangelism at Columbia Theological Seminary, and in his retirement, he found himself called deeply into interfaith dialogue, discovering the similarities among people of different faiths in our common quest to know God. In his book entitled Something More, Ben wrote about giving an address at a church conference, after which a young doctor came up and confided that he was somehow discontent with his life. He had a happy family, a medical practice that provided income from which he gave generously to the church. He taught Sunday school and served as a church officer. He was widely respected in the community and seemed to lack for nothing. With all the symbols of success and fulfillment attached to his life, this young man admitted to Ben, "There is still something more." In reflecting on this encounter, Ben Johnson celebrated the man's hunger, writing, "To have a hunger, even a faint desire for something more, is nothing to be ashamed of. It is a gift. The hunger for God, even an interest in God, is a rich treasure because it signals the presence of God already at work in your life. To have a hunger, it is a gift. What are you hungry for?" I imagine each one of us is aware of some hunger deep within ourselves, some longing for something more. This has been a week in our country when so many of us have found ourselves starving for more civility. Filled to the brim with brutish rancor, the pain of the Me Too movement, gender politics, and questions about fairness, we are hungry for a real sense of progress toward a more perfect union. And the daily news pushes the horrific global news aside, and world communion calls us to look up and look abroad. What else are we hungry for? More peace among races, religions, and nations, more peace across conflicts and divisions, more food for those who are really hungry for food, more refuge, shelter, and safety for the refugee, more calm after the storm, more of a sense of God's presence in a world that is yearning for God's intervention. Amid all the hungers that are represented across our worshiping congregation on this World Communion Sunday, I'm reminded of the words of Henry Nouwen. "The beauty of the Lord's Supper is precisely that it is the place where a vulnerable God invites vulnerable people to come together for a peaceful meal. It is a meal intended to satisfy the hungry heart." Our gospel reading today comes from a chapter in John which began with the feeding of the 5,000, but by the time we get to our text, we are talking about a bread that feeds more than the physical hunger, feeding the crowd with limited resources of a few loaves and fish. Had reminded those who were gathered around Jesus of those ancient Israelites in the wilderness who were sustained on their journey by the daily gift of manna from heaven. The question of the starving Israelites back then in the Exodus account had been, "What is it?" Which is the literal meaning of manna. What is it? After Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John, the question has become, "Who are you? Who are you, Jesus, doing the work of God?" Both the Old and New Testament stories are about the same God and the similar circumstances of God's children who are hungry for food and then something more than food. The difference is that in Jesus of Nazareth, God is up to something new, offering hope. The gift of eternal life is present in the bread Jesus shares. So when we come to the Lord's table, we are fed by the bread of life so that we can share that life with the world. Part of that sharing is a call to serve those who are hungry for food, and then to serve those who are hungry for something more than food. The problem of physical hunger in our world is real, and it is huge. The famine in Yemen, for example, is so severe that the United Nations just this week estimated that two-thirds of Yemen's population of 29 million people do not know where their next meal is coming from. Just this week, you saw, many of you, a study that came out of Temple University detailing the problem of hunger among college students. In community colleges across our nation, 1 in 3 students experiences food insecurity, and 14% are homeless. Even in some of our country's most prestigious institutions, there are students who worry about food. Then with Pastor Rebecca's leadership, this congregation is partnering with other churches and Mainline Reformed Temple to help address food insecurity in our immediate area. 10% of the students in Lower Marion Township's public schools are on free or reduced lunch, which means there may not be enough food at home over the weekends and during the summer. We who hunger for something are being nourished here to serve those who are hungry for food. And in our serving, we might find some satisfaction for our own hunger, our hunger for something more than food. United Methodist Bishop Will Willimon has written, when Jesus compares himself to manna, when he calls himself the bread of life, he surely implies that you cannot receive the gift that he offers without receiving it through sharing. In the midst of a famine, if a person comes upon a piece of bread and eats it, that is a meal. But if a person comes upon a piece of bread and takes the bread, gives thanks for the bread, and then shares half of it with someone who has none, that is a sacrament. As for me, Willimon goes on to say, I am grateful that when Jesus came proclaiming the advent of his kingdom, he did not begin with sermons about atonement, justification, redemption, or any other big, abstract, high-sounding words. He began by pointing to our stomachs, to that gnawing, unsatisfied emptiness within. And he invited us to dinner. Then, having fed us, he charged us to feed others in spite of our inadequacies, our cowardice, our greed, and our fears. He told us, you give them something to eat. If you are hungry for something more than food, there's hope in the bread because Christ is present in our communion. It nourishes us to share what we can. If you are hungry for more civility, then befriend someone with whom you differ and try to understand a different point of view. If you are hungry for the ache of the world, be generous in your sharing. If you are hungry for peace in your life, make room for the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. This communion points to new life beyond this life. Then filling us with hope, it empowers us to be new creations. Our congregation at large only gathers as a whole church family around the communion table once a month or so. But we have a beautiful, ever-present visual reminder of how we are nurtured at this table and then sent out to serve. The Harry Bertoia sculpture called Wheat is on the balcony of our ministry center, given in loving memory of Lois Moon. So accustomed are we to passing it by, most of us lose sight of its significance. Harry Bertoia was an Italian-born American artist, sculptor, and furniture designer. He learned how to weld in the 1940s in California. And during World War II, he welded airplanes as a contribution to the war effort. He later studied at the Cranbrook Academy of Art in Michigan and ultimately settled near Allentown, Pennsylvania, where he created works of art now in museums and airports and banks and universities and businesses. His public sculptures are displayed throughout the United States, including his nearby fountain in front of the Woodmere Museum in Chestnut Hill. He was selected to create the memorial piece for Marshall University's football team in West Virginia. You remember We Are Marshall, after that tragic plane crash, took the lives of 75 people, including the whole team, in 1970. Bertoia took his inspiration from nature, and most of his sculptures move. They move as tree branches move in the breeze, inviting the observer to move. Harry Bertoia rarely signed his work. He said, he felt his gift to the universe needed no person's mark upon it to be appreciated or interpreted. And so Harry Bertoia's gift to this congregation, the permanent installment of Wheat, a reminder of the elements of communion, a sculpture that moves, wind-blown, reminiscent of the living bread of Jesus Christ, who moves us into the world to serve those who hunger for bread and those who hunger for something more than bread. One of the ancient prayers of our Christian tradition reads, "Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so in like fashion, let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom." Today, with Christ's global family, like grains of wheat scattered across the globe, we are gathered by Christ, the bread of life, to be the living body of Christ. Whatever your hunger is, there There is hope in the bread. And that hope is intended to move us into the world to serve in Christ's name. Amen.